You're listening to the World Watch Weekly podcast from Open Doors Canada. Today we talk about the difficulty in talking about certain persecuted countries on the internet, and also we talk about the importance of one of the key elements of church for Muslim background believers. To learn more about Open Doors or the World Watch List, you can visit us at www.opendoorsca.org. Enjoy today's episode.
Welcome back to another episode of World Watch Weekly. We are so glad that you've joined us. My name is Andrew. With me today is Jared. How are you doing today, Jared?
I'm good, Andrew, here with my first cup of morning coffee, so I'm always in a good mood when that happens. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. I'm surprised to hear you say it's only your first cup.
Yeah, I know. I am usually three in by 9:30.
I'm doing well. Last week, we had our first ever online version of Night with the Persecuted Church, and it was a really good event, really well attended, and a great feedback. Had opportunity to pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters and update Christians in Canada to what's happening with the persecuted church around the world. If you attended that event, or if you didn't attend that event, but would like to attend one in the future, keep your ear out. We will be hosting more online events, and so would love for you to know more about that. But we're not here to talk about Night with the Persecuted Church. We're here to dive into another episode of World Watch Weekly.
That's right. Now, Andrew, when we set out to do this podcast, one thing we wanted to do is share with our listeners stories and updates from our persecuted family worldwide. And I love that we have the opportunity to do that with technology and with social media, which also allowed us to do our online event. Now, the problem that comes with using social media and other communication technology is that we have to be so careful in Canada about what we say about the church in certain countries. There's some countries on the World Watch List that are so dangerous that we can't really talk about it too much, as it could cause further issues for our persecuted brothers and sisters there. And one such country that I want to mention today is Pakistan. And what I can say is that in Pakistan, Christians face discrimination in work, in education. Jobs that are considered unclean are officially reserved for Christians. Believers are afraid to express their faith freely in case something they say is misinterpreted as blasphemy. Accusations lead to believers being imprisoned or sometimes killed.
Yeah, so Pakistan is number 5 on the World Watch List. And it's a country that we would love to talk about more, but for the protection of our brothers and sisters in Pakistan, we're not able to go deeper into the subject. So instead, we wanted to talk to you today about something that happens in the life of every church, even every church here in Canada. Something you, as our listener, have probably done, hopefully done, and that is baptism. For us in Canada, baptism is a part of church life that many of us don't think much about, but baptism is so significant for the persecuted church.
That's right. For many of us in Canada and North America, our discussions about baptism tend to be more theological in nature. How to do it, what its significance is. But for a Muslim background believer in persecuted areas, it's much more clear. Baptism means you're a part of a new family. Here's a quote from the book Insanity of Obedience by Nick Ripken. For most Muslim background believers and other first-generation believers within persecution, there's very little interest in the theology of baptism. Is it a symbol, a sign, or a sacrament? And very little interest in the mode of baptism. Should it be done by immersion, pouring, or sprinkling? What matters most is the deeper meaning of what is happening. This new believer will understand that he or she is being baptized into Christ and being baptized into a new body of believers. Baptism is a profound expression of belonging, and it is a clear picture of a new family. Especially within contexts of persecution and suffering, it's simply impossible to overstate the power of this image and the meaning that it conveys.
That's right. Baptism is a hugely important step for a believer from a Muslim background, not just because it represents becoming part of a new family, but because of the consequences that may come because of it. Quite possibly the most serious decision that a Muslim background believer can make is the decision to be baptized. From the moment a convert from Islam decides to be baptized, he or she is put under particular pressure, since baptism is seen as the ultimate form of rejecting Islam.
Brother Andrew, in his book, Secret Believers, shares an account of some Muslim background believers who decide they want to be baptized. Here's what it says. This is a huge step. They are saying that they have decided to live totally for Jesus and are ready, if need be, to die for him as well. They're turning away from their old life in Islam. Before they're baptized, they could go back to Islam. After baptism, there is no going back. It's a death sentence. Any Muslim can kill them. That's why I don't think we can ever rush this decision. So when we think of the significance of baptism, we remember how Paul tells us that baptism connects us to Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. For a believer from a Muslim background, baptism is a physical reminder that they are dying to their old self and starting a new life in Jesus. But they also know that if their baptism is discovered, it could lead to a real and early grave.
Yeah. You know, I remember as a youth pastor having many conversations with youth about baptism. The most common response when I asked them if they were interested in getting baptism or if they'd been thinking about baptism was, I just don't know if I'm ready. These were kids who I knew loved Jesus and they took their faith seriously, but they still didn't feel ready. Why? I'm not always sure. For some, it might have seemed like it was too big of a step, too public of a step. But in reality, for most youth in Canada, the step of baptism will result in little to no backlash. When you compare that to the decision of a Muslim background believer to get baptized, it's astonishing. Their decision will bear witness to Jesus and will be seen as a point where they are definitely done with Islam. A Muslim background believer's baptism is a choice to say, I'm willing to die for Jesus.
Yeah, their persecution will only increase with baptism. For Islam, baptism means you're a Christian. Before the point of baptism, you can turn back to Islam, but when you're baptized, you're officially converting. The decision to be baptized is a decision to turn your back on your family's religion and way of life. It's not a decision to be made lightly.
Absolutely. And so that leads us into today's story. It's about a young man named Yusuf. Yusuf is 29. He's from West Africa. He grew up in a Muslim home and as a young adult studied Islamic law. After that, he devoted his life to teaching the Quran to children. He was a respected Muslim cleric and Yusuf took pride in the fact that he had read the Quran cover to cover several times. In 2017, his dedication went a step further and he joined a rebel group and went to fight in Libya. Early last year, his group prepared for an attack. And he had an extra opportunity here in this attack. This is what Yusuf said. There was a church in the area. I was determined to destroy that church. But God had different plans. Just a few days before the planned attack, Yusuf had a strange dream. I fell asleep and in my dream saw a man with a golden crown that shone very brightly. The person called out to me, Yusuf, Yusuf, go and meet the Christians. Go back home and become a Christian. But I was convinced that this person was mistaken. Are you in sound mind? I asked him. Do you know who I am? Me? Become a Christian? I will never become a Christian. We spoke at length in my dreams, but I can't remember everything we said. Yusuf woke up a changed man. He immediately resigned. I dared not tell them the reason for my resignation. They accused me of becoming a traitor and severely beat me. The next day, Yusuf started his return journey home. By the time he made it home, The former Muslim scholar and so-called freedom fighter now had nothing but the clothes on his back. He went straight to a church compound where an elder connected him with an Arabic-speaking Christian who answered Yusuf's myriad of questions. That same day, he committed his life to Jesus Christ. No one in his family was aware of his return home or his conversion. After a few months, Yusuf called his father to let him know he was home. His father quizzed him about reasons for returning, seemingly unimpressed. Yusuf asked him what he would think of a family member becoming a Christian. His father didn't want anything to do with that. For now, Yusuf has decided not to break the news of his conversion just yet. All I want is to know God and His Word and to strengthen my faith. Jesus is the way that leads to life. I have found the life and I have decided to follow Him. And so you might ask, today's episode was about baptism. Why did you share that story? Well, Yusuf, right now, is preparing to get baptized.
Wow.
And so we understand from what we just talked about that that is a very serious step and could have very serious consequences. So we want to spend some time today praying for Yusuf.
So the first thing that we can pray for Yusuf is for the Lord's protection over him and for him to continue to be well grounded in the faith as he prepares for baptism.
Yeah, and we want to pray that the Lord would give Yusuf wisdom for when to reveal his faith to his family, and that God would prepare the way for him. And when he does reveal that faith, that he would be able to lead them to Jesus as well.
And we'll also pray for wisdom, courage, and financial resources for Yusuf's mentors and disciples so that they will be able to continue their care for him. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for the story of young men like Yusuf who have become modern day St. Paul stories. Lord, we thank you for reaching out to Yusuf in your mighty spirit and allowing him to come into a relationship with you after such a dedicated life of opposition. Lord God, as Yusuf prepares for baptism, I pray that you would protect him and that he would continue to grow in his knowledge and understanding of you. Lord, we pray that his relationship with you would continue to be the most real thing in his life. And Lord, as he prepares to take this drastic step away from his family's religion, that you would give him a sense of peace and comfort about it. And Lord, we pray for his family, particularly his father, whom he is afraid to speak to about his conversion. And Lord, we pray that they would have open and receptive hearts and minds to the truths of your gospel. We pray that you give Yusuf wisdom about when to reveal his faith to his family, and that you would prepare clear opportunities for him to do so. We pray that the soil of which the seeds of the gospel are spread would be fruitful and bear mighty results for your kingdom. And God, we pray for those who are discipling Yusuf in this time. Give them wisdom, give them courage in how to do things, give them the resources that are necessary. Lord, may you bless them for their work and allow them to continue their care for him and for other secret believers. We thank you, Father, for the ways that you answer our prayers and for the love that you have for your children all over the world, for whom we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Now, if you want to learn more about what baptism means for persecuted believers, I recommend Nick Ripkin's Insanity of Obedience, which you can grab from our website. Many of the thoughts that we express here are expressed in deeper context in that book, and you can find a link in the description of the podcast for that. We want to thank you so much for listening to today's episode. As always, we would love for you to subscribe, leave us a rating, and share our podcast with someone else so we can have more people praying for our persecuted family across the world. If you have any questions, send us a question that we can answer in a future episode at podcast@odcan.org. And thanks so much for listening. God bless. Thanks for listening to Open Doors Canada's World Watch Weekly podcast. The goal of this podcast is to encourage Canadians to pray for our persecuted family. To find out more, please visit our website at www.opendoorsca.org and click on Get Involved and Prayer.